cue the fancy intro music. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and this is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom helps you to find success on your own terms and build a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love. So whether you watch the web series, the live Q&A, or are just joining us through the podcast, welcome. I'm excited you're here. Last year, I launched my first live event under the Creative Freedom brand. I called it Creative Freedom Live. Not a very creative title, but it works. And the URL was available, so I snagged it, and Creative Freedom Live was born. Registration is now available, by the way, and we've only got about 5 spots left since it's a pretty cozy event. I only take about 10 people. We lay out your growth plan for the next 12 to 15 months and make sure that you've set yourself up for success. So if that sounds like something your business could use, I invite you to check us out. So I'm no stranger to live events. For more than 10 years now, I have traveled all over the U.S. to attend, perform, or speak at functions of various sizes for a wide array of audiences. National conferences for direct sellers, concert tours, business meetings, and local luncheons and meetups. And it occurred to me that while a lot of people go to events like these, many people don't get any results from attending. I hear people jokingly talk about the rubber chicken dinners and how there was no real ROI for them. And I sympathize because it was my reality too for a while. I'd go to conferences hoping to learn something, maybe make some new friends or drum up some new business, but it rarely happened. In fact, I can count on one hand the number of events I've attended where other attendees either turned into new business or new friends. So I felt like I was doing events wrong. So much so that the basic premise of my book, The Secret Watch, is that a business owner travels to a live event hoping to drum up some business, but comes home empty-handed, facing the very real prospect of having to close up shop if a miracle doesn't happen. Not remotely based on reality at all. In a work of fiction, it's easy to let a miracle happen. But I wanted the book to be a bit more realistic, reflecting more of the truth many creative entrepreneurs face on a daily basis. So instead, the book drives home the point that you have to define success on your own terms and then do the work to achieve that success. Definitions alone won't get you there. That's saying, I'll be successful when I've lost 100 pounds and then doing nothing to make it happen. You've got to do the work if you want to be successful, which brings me back to live events. I was one of those people who attended events with no plan other than to see what they see or learn a thing or two. My results reflected my lack of planning. And I hear you. Planning isn't sexy, but results are. And that's what I'm here to help you get, right? So while it takes a little effort to proactively plan for an event, I can tell you from experience and the experiences of my clients that the rewards are often well worth the time it takes on the front end to see real results on the back end. That's why today we're talking about how to really get the most out of any event you attend and how to know whether it's an event worth attending or not. It's kind of pointless to talk about one and not the other. If you don't know that an event is worth attending, you'll show up and waste your investment. Consider it like a simple equation. Having a clear goal or outcome for attending, plus knowing which events will help you attain your goal, equals a successful event plan. By looking at both pieces of this equation, you'll save yourself time, energy, and money by only focusing in on the events that bring home the bacon, or whatever it is you need an event to do for you. And yes, even if you're the most introverted person in the world, you can take this equation and put it to work for yourself. Because let's face facts, there are plenty of events happening every day all over the world, plenty of places you could be, and there are opportunity costs involved. Not just money and time, but effort, energy, sharing bits and pieces of yourself. We only have so many spoons to go around. If you're not familiar with spoon theory, the term was coined by Christine Mizarandino in 2003 in her essay of the same name. It's like life points in a video game. You only have so many to allocate to the actions that you're taking, and when you run out, you have to chill out until you've replenished them. Mizurindino intended the use for people with chronic illnesses, like lupus, but the analogy holds true for anyone trying to manage their resources during any given day. So if you only have so many spoons to go around, or minutes, or dollars, or whatever, it makes sense then that you'll want to make the most of everything you've got. Sometimes, no matter how much due diligence you apply, you'll still miss the mark. After all, there are some pretty slick marketers out there who know how to make any event look sexy. But once you've mastered this equation, you'll have a much better grasp on how to make empowered decisions about what events are right for you and which ones will not bring the return on investment that you're looking for. Let me state here that I'm assuming that you've got the ability to attend the event. You can afford to travel or register, etc. And you're just deciding on whether or not it's worth it to you to invest your resources in this way. First, let's take a look at your goals for attending. Now, you might have different goals for each event, but ultimately it'll come down to a handful of reasons. Who will be there? What you'll learn or what you'll take away. So let's look at each potential goal type a little deeper. You may want to go because of who will be there. Maybe there's someone you'd like to meet or connect with that you know will be there. This is different than the more general goal of going to meet new people, which we'll talk about in a minute. If you can, you'll want to get clear on the specifics. Are you looking to meet someone with a background in graphic design because you need a new website? Are you looking to connect with one of the keynote speakers? Are you planning to take an online relationship offline and meet face-to-face for the first time? All of those are great reasons to attend an event. If your goal is to connect with a specific person at an event, it makes sense to do some advance work prior to the event in order to make sure that you can actually connect with them at the event. Respect the time of the person you're trying to meet. Reach out via email or on social media if possible to schedule time with them during the event. Find out in advance if they are open to meeting with you or if their calendar is already booked. Particularly if you're trying to meet a keynote speaker or a celebrity type, you want to do your due diligence. Those folks are regularly swamped or inundated at events and simply don't have time to connect with everyone. They'll often opt to invest their time with people with whom they've already built a relationship. So it pays to start making connection conversations now rather than jumping in cold at the event. Here in Nashville, there's a podcasting meetup group. 1 month, the guest speaker was Jeff Brown, host of the Read to Lead podcast. He was peeling back the curtain to share the inner workings of his own podcast and how he was monetizing things behind the scenes. I knew I wanted to go to this event because he was not only sharing what I hoped would be useful info, but because he was a person I knew could open the door to other connections in both the local area and the podcasting world if I could begin to build an offline relationship with him. So I made the time and travel investment and went to the event. I sat right in the front row. I took notes and pictures and made sure I was there early enough to have a chance to introduce myself before the event began. Now, I didn't do everything right. If I'd taken my own advice, I would have reached out to him before the event to start building a connection. Luckily for me, he stood at the front of the room for a few minutes before his talk began, and I used that time to prime the pump, so to speak, and make a connection with Jeff before he started his training. Jeff's content was well prepared and very comprehensive. He fielded questions from the audience, and I was the first one to raise my hand. Because I was in the front row, I was kind of hard to miss. I'm kind of hard to miss in general, but being in the front row was an added boost. Jeff answered my question completely, and I felt like he was really doing his best to answer my question, which is always a good sign. You want someone who's going to be honest and ethical with you. Otherwise, why have them in your networking circle? Later that night, after I got home, I sent Jeff an email and asked him follow-up questions that I felt were more personal and less valuable to the group as a whole. This was me essentially bouncing the tennis ball back into his court. I was testing to see if he legitimately wanted to build a relationship or if he was just there to speak and build his list. Thankfully, Jeff's a great guy, and he not only answered my question, he invited me to speak on his podcast, and that was an added bonus, but I wasn't expecting it. But I was grateful for the opportunity. Had I not done my research, had I not paid attention during his presentation, had I not made myself memorable in some way by asking questions, when Jeff got my email, he might have just thrown it in the trash. Remember, guys like this get deluged with emails and invitations to lunch and opportunities to pick their brain all the time. So when I say make yourself memorable, I'm not saying wear a funky costume or be ridiculous. In fact, most often the best way to be memorable is to show them that you are paying attention and connect with them on something that matters to them. For Jeff, it made sense to just continue the conversation that he'd started during his talk and ask him questions about that. Sometimes speakers and presenters don't stick around for long and they leave right after they finish on stage. So if you haven't done your research before the event begins, then you'll have missed your opportunity to connect with them and the very reason you wanted to attend the event in the first place. I remember another meetup I attended once with a guest slated to appear that I really wanted to connect with. This time I did reach out before the event and got zilch for a reply. Now that should have been a red flag for me, but since the topic was promising and I really wanted to meet this person, I decided to go to the event anyway. When I got there, I was pleasantly surprised that this person had brought a copy of their new book for everyone that was in attendance. It's always cool when you can take something away from an event that you actually want to have. And we'll talk about that in more detail in a bit. I sat in the front and I tried to engage the author, but it was almost like I was invisible. Sadly, the content wasn't at all what was advertised, and I was a little disappointed that the speaker was nowhere to be found even a few minutes after their talk concluded. I fully expected them to stick around and sign their book for the members of the audience, but that didn't happen either, which was kind of a bummer since many of the attendees were asking about it. Lesson learned. If your goal is focused on meeting someone, be specific. If you don't have a specific person or a specific type of person in mind to meet when you're attending an event, then you're probably wasting your time. The one exception to this would be if you're looking to make new friends or meet new people in general, but be careful here. A lot of live events tout quote unquote great networking as a ploy to get you to come. But if you haven't got a clear idea of who you want to network with, you'll just be another face in a sea of people. This happened to me more times than I care to count. Once I got clear on who I really wanted to connect with, it became a lot easier to decide which events to attend and which ones to skip. Sometimes I'd end up going to something completely unexpected rather than something industry specific, simply because more of the kind of people I wanted to meet would be at the event that's outside my industry. I mean, you can meet new people at the grocery store for Pete's sake. What kind of new people are you really interested in? Clients? Colleagues? Do you want to open up new connections in uncharted areas to expand your business or personal connections? If those type of people won't be at the event, you don't need to go. And if you're an introvert, it's even more important that you're clear on the types of people you'd like to connect with. For example, if you are a highly sensitive introvert, then you may want to limit your exposure to highly extroverted settings or people. Like me. In this case, you may want to have a goal of connecting more deeply with just one or two specific participants per day at an event. And even then, that might be a lot for you. Have a specific conversation or connection goal in mind so that you can tell sooner rather than later if this person is going to be a fit for your personality type. And don't feel compelled to spend your spoons or a lot of time with people who aren't a good fit for you. After all, the whole point of meeting new people is to connect to people that you're compatible with. Who would be a good person or type of person for you to connect with at the event? Take time before the event to figure that out and put your focus there. Another tip, if there's a list of attendees, check it out. See who else is coming and whether or not you want to spend time with these folks. Not every event makes this info public, but you might also find people talking about the event on social media. So take some time to check these people out and make an informed decision about whether or not this event is a sound investment of your resources. Aside from the people you could meet in an event, The typical draw for most any event is the content. Since most business events are focused on what you'll learn, that's what we'll look at here. But whether the content is designed to educate, entertain, or some combination of the two, every event has a theme that serves as one of the primary reasons most people consider when choosing to attend. The obvious thing here is to compare the content being promoted with what you really need to move your business forward. Now, did you hear that? I said, need. With all the options in the world, it is easy to get distracted by flashy, shiny objects or slick marketing. It's also easy to slip into the wants instead of staying focused on the needs. Now, an occasional want is cool, but if you find yourself being wooed all too frequently by nice-to-haves and wants instead of needs, you'll be spending your company's resources instead of investing it. Remember, investments are generally designed to bring a positive return on your investment. So when you count all the costs, will you get enough out of attending this event to make it valuable to your company? Will there be a positive return on the time, energy, money, and effort your company is investing for you to attend? This is an especially important consideration for you as a creative entrepreneur. Likely, you're a solo or micropreneur without the deep pockets of a major corporation. You need to consider how this event will actually provide a solid return on the investment you're making for your employee to attend, even if that employee is you. If you're going because you want to, and it has no real value to your company, then it's a personal thing, not a business thing, and don't confuse the two, because that's a fast ticket to bankruptcy for any business. If you were in a regular corporate job and the opportunity to attend this event came up, could you persuade your supervisor or the HR department at the company to approve this event for you? If not, consider whether this is something you really need for your business or just something you'd like to do because it makes you feel good in the moment. I often ask my clients, is this decision good for the business or does it just feel good for you right now? This isn't about judgment, mind you. It's about awareness. Again, it's your business, and if you want to go, no one is going to stop you. But if you're aware that it's a want instead of a need, well, you can't unsee that. And if you find yourself stepping over needs to tend to wants more often than not, then you've got a pattern that you need to check before you run the company into the ground. You know that saying, it's just business. Yeah. This is a moment when it could be helpful to you. Granted, we often hear that phrase when some cold, calculating villain has done something rotten in our favorite movies and shows, but there's a reason we keep hearing it. It basically means a decision was made without consideration of emotion. And sometimes that's important. Sometimes, especially where money and investing are concerned, you need to take the emotion out of the decision. Drop the judgment and get clear on what your business is really ready for. If you see an event offering to teach you everything you need to know about marketing and publishing your first book, for example, but you haven't even started the outline for it, then it's probably a bit premature to jump into a program like that. Don't let the lure of limited seats or one-time availability trick you into buying something before you're ready to actually get use out of it. About 10 years ago, I went to a major event for entrepreneurs for most of the wrong reasons. The host claimed that 1,000 entrepreneurs would be in attendance and that there would be so many awesome people to meet. They also raved about all the things that we would learn about growing an online business. I got lured by the idea that there would be so many people there to help me expand my network. I also believed the host when they said we'd learn everything we needed to know to grow our online empire. Well, 3 days, thousands of dollars, and lots of flashy marketing later, complete with Vegas showgirls and crazy acrobatics, I was just a face in a crowded sea of about 500 people who watched the host teach top-level strategies that required deeper implementation that couldn't be had at their live event. But for a tidy five-figure sum, you could be part of their year-long program that would help you get started. And I watched in horror as hundreds, I kid you not, hundreds of people ran to the front of the room to get their golden ticket. an envelope containing the application and details of this amazing five-figure program that included three live events in various parts of the country. These were regular people who I had talked to during the event, people just getting started, who were clearly not ready to make that kind of investment in their business, but were wooed in the moment by the Vegas showgirls, the fancy packaging, and the slick marketing. They didn't want to miss out on being part of this exclusive group, and they were willing to throw themselves into tens of thousands of dollars of debt to do it. This kind of predatory sales tactic isn't uncommon, sadly. And it's something I'm going to look at deeper in a future episode, but for now, let's look back at our equation. Having a clear goal or outcome for attending, plus knowing which events will help you attain your goal, equals a successful event plan. So you're sitting in a room, and someone invites you to invest in their event. What's the outcome? Will it really give you what you need? If not, the answer is no. If you're not sure, ask questions. This is your money, man. If you can't get answers that satisfy you, the answer is still no. If you get answers that give you clarity and it lines up on your calendar, then it probably makes good business sense to consider it. Even then, don't get caught up in the flashy sales techniques that some folks use to push all your triggers and get you to buy. Drop the emotion, the judgment, and get clear before you make any investment of resources for your business. This question also applies if you're going to the event for the stuff, the things you'll take away. When I owned and operated a candle manufacturing company, we'd often go to gift shows and trade shows to see what the trends were for the upcoming seasons. My goal was to walk out with a few ideas that would spark new product offerings for us, while my partner at the time was looking for products to stock in our catalog. Most of the time, we'd come home with a bag full of swag, product samples, catalogs, and other gimmicky things that the vendors were giving away to anyone with a pulse that walked past their booth. After a couple of years, though, I grew less and less enthusiastic about attending the events because the stuff we'd come home with always felt like more of a chore than a joy. So we started doing more of our ordering online and attending live events far less frequently. On the other hand, when I was in direct sales, I rarely missed an annual conference or leadership retreat because there was always great swag. Most of the time, free products. They were some of the items from the new catalog, and their value would more than compensate me for the cost of registering for the event. So that's money I wouldn't have to plow into my business for new products. Hooray! Sometimes it would cover the cost of travel too, depending on where the event was located. It just made good financial sense to get my butt to the event for the swag. And the training and team networking were extra incentives that made national conferences well worth the investment of resources to make it work. So again, look at your goal. What are you hoping to bring home from the event? Maybe a book from an author that's speaking there? Maybe some pictures of celebrities who'll be at the event? Maybe some valuable swag that will actually help move the needle in your business? Get clear on what you're hoping to get, then do your homework and see if it's likely that you'll actually get those things to bring home with you. If not, then it's a no. But if so, then it might be worth it to consider attending the event. More often than not, though, you'll be considering events that are a mix of these things. There's a keynote speaker you want to connect with, and you're hoping to learn a thing or two, and maybe get the author to sign your book for you. Do the research. Will any or all of that be a possibility for you? If not, then skip it this time. If so, then it's worth considering attending or participating. Keep in mind, too, that a no today doesn't mean no forever. Even an event that's never going to be repeated again will be revived by someone somewhere if it's really that valuable. I've seen gaps in the marketplace get filled when one provider stops offering something. If it's really good, someone else will pick up the ball and run with it. There's rarely just one solitary person in the world that's teaching what you want to learn. Have patience, and it'll come back around again when the timing is right. Remember, too, your opportunity costs. This is the economic principle that says when you invest in one thing, you'll miss out on the other things that you could have done with that investment. Take some time to think about what you won't get to do or what you'll have to delay for a later date if you choose to attend this event. And then ask yourself, is it really worth missing out on X in order to attend this event? If not, then the answer is no. If so, then it's worth it to consider attending. So there you have it. A simple way to look more objectively at the events and opportunities coming your way. And as a creative entrepreneur, you'll discover more than your share of events, both online and off, that you could attend. The question isn't whether you'll ever attend them. It's more about which ones are right for you, where you're at right now, and once you decide to go, what's the plan for making the most of them? This simple equation, combined with dropping the emotions, can almost certainly help open your eyes to ways you could be making more empowered decisions about your time, energy, and money, the resources of your creative business. I challenge you to do this right now. Let's use my own Creative Freedom Live event as an example. The goal of my annual October event is to help you unpack the roadblocks that are keeping you from the success you desire and help you build a customized growth plan for the next 12 to 15 months of your business. We have a lot of fun in the process, since I believe that you've got to get off the hamster wheel of hustle if you're really going to build a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love. And it's an intimate group, so we get a little personal, but we keep everything confidential. That's the best way that I've found to break down the barriers to success and lay a solid foundation for forward momentum. I limit the event to no more than 10 people, and we're already about half full. As you listen to that description, what's coming up for you? What did you hear? Drop the emotions and think about your business and this event. It's in October. Does that work for your schedule? No? Well, then it's a no-go. You're done. Decision made. If it fits in your calendar, think about the location. Nashville. Sound like your jam? Not sure? Well, you may need to do some digging. Love it? Great. Moving on. It's a personal, intimate event focused on business growth and planning. Don't have the spoons for an intensive, intimate event? Well, then this ain't for you. But if you like the idea of a high-touch environment and one-on-one personal help, then this might be intriguing for you. Do you even need support making and sticking to a growth plan for your business? If not, then you don't need to be here because that's what the event is all about. Now, I could go on, but that's a start and admittedly a bit of a plug for the event. And I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to learn more. But that's how you start to weigh the information about any event you're considering attending. Now, you may not need to do as much research or deep thought for a weekly networking breakfast in your hometown as you would a multi-day event. But ultimately, it comes down to what's best for you. You've got to take care of you and your business first and foremost. If any event doesn't serve that purpose, then it's probably not worth the investment for you, even if everyone else you know thinks it's perfect for them. And so concludes this episode of the Creative Freedom Podcast. For you visual types, our next video drops in a couple of days. And if you like it live, join us for our Q&A about this topic on my Facebook page at the end of the week. If you liked this episode, you can help us make a bigger impact in the world when you subscribe or leave a review and share us with your friends and colleagues. Next week, we'll be talking about events from the other side of the coin. If you've ever considered hosting your own live event, I will be sharing my lessons learned after hosting many virtual and live events of my own over the past 10 years. I've never shared this before, so I hope you'll join us for that next time. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. Oh, you know you want to.